I'm recording.
Podcat. podcast. And it pays to have your videos on, as everyone just heard there, as we kick off the Sixth Sense podcast for, I can't believe it, week 11 in a season we didn't even know if we were going to have. We were at week 11, and it just goes to show you, or go figure, this is the year that yours truly is actually having a bit of a year. Things I've touched have turned to gold. Other things haven't. That's how fantasy works. But more good than bad for me. And I'm not going to be the guy on high who complains, as some first place players have, managers have done in the past. So Zach Cosby here. Happy to be with you. Week 11 of the UFFL. And I guess it would make this episode 12 if we had done every week. But we'll get past that too. Thanks for filling in for me, boys, last week. Really good stuff, Kirky with Gleeter. And we got another special guest this week, so it should be really good. We lots of recap from week 10. And yeah, might as well just get through to Commissioner Corner and get to the guests. Let's do it.
Yeah, so it's going to be Andrew Kirkland here doing Commissioner Corner. We're not joined by Yorkie tonight. He is getting ready to fly out to LA. So last week he was, kind of almost on the brink of a breakdown and didn't know whether he should go. And I guess now he's going to be flying to L.A. It's for a mini camp that the Raptors have going on, so it won't be too long. I think he's gone for a week or two. And I think they're still trying to get the season to kick off in Toronto. But obviously we've got this pandemic going on, so that puts a wrench in it. But he's preparing, so I'm going to fill it in with the Commissioner's Corner, and I can guarantee it'll be better, a Commissioner's Corner, than anything Yorkie's ever delivered. So the Commissioner's Corner this week is going to be on this BS that everyone keeps talking about and other GMs keep talking about, of these rumors of a keeper and even trading draft picks. Now, I can tell you right now, this will not make the league better, and what it's going to cause, it's going to cause superstar teams. Okay, because I'll tell you what, just because a guy who goes 6-4, who was tied for first place, goes off in the WhatsApp group and says that his team is on a fire sale, that stupidity should not lead to a change that would impact our league dramatically, not only from the administration to the year-over-year transition, but some of the people in the WhatsApp, some of the GMs in the WhatsApp chat were talking about how it would entice more trades to happen later in the season. I can tell you right now, Ozzie would be trading everyone away early in the season. So he'd be a GM that you wouldn't be able to trade with right now, because he'd have nobody left and he'd have a ton of draft picks. I can tell you myself, I went 0-5. I would have traded everyone away and not stayed competitive throughout the rest of the season. Now, my chances of making the playoffs are very slim, but I'm still involved in a lot of the transactions that are going on right now because I think there's still a shot, and I'm in second last place. So I'll tell you right now, what's going to happen is you're going to get superstar teams. They're going to wipe away every high week because everyone will just, they'll say, I'm done with this season. I'm trading all my superstars. And just give me a ton of draft picks for the following season. So I don't think it'll stimulate, and I think this needs to be squashed. And the fact that we're coming up and even talking about this, because one GM who was tied for first place last week says he's going on a fire sale after he loses 1 week, that's not why and how you make changes in this league. Cosby.
I'm glad we have this platform, first of all, Kirkland, because I think it's a nice way to, A, get those facts out there. I will state that they are facts. What you just said is facts. We can get all the real stuff out there, and it's the way to avoid the mob mentality that is so strange but so easy to have happen in these sorts of situations, because you'll notice that I responded in the WhatsApp,
yep.
But I don't even know how I really even feel about it. Like I, in that moment, I especially didn't really even like, I know already going in, like I have a bias toward never changing anything. That's my automatic thinking, is I'm very for, these leagues are hard enough, but getting used to more changes, like you're supposed to figure out how the thing works and then figure out the best way. And then the more everyone knows how the league works, the more competitive it is to begin with. So introducing a new thing in a league where some guys I don't even feel like have figured it out yet. And I can't even say I've figured out how to make the best of our league with its current settings. I don't know why changing them would help anyway. But what I was only trying to do is just really make sure both sides were being heard in there, because it's very easy for, especially in a group chat, to just say one thing and then all of a sudden everyone just thinks it, right? Like, and then goes from there and everyone jumps on that bandwagon and it just gets out of control. I don't think we need change, but I especially don't need you guys, the administrator. Like, I was basically just going to say the administrative stuff that you talked about on its own is way too much work. I think it's more than just adding keepers or adding trading draft picks. It's figuring out how many you're allowed. It's figuring out how many spots you have to do. There's different structures, and I'm sure our special guest has probably been in leagues actually with different ways that they do keepers. I don't want to speak for them, but that's the whole other thing when it comes to keepers is you start figuring out, oh, do I do it where you lose the draft pick or the round you drafted the guy in? And then it's just a big, big pig fuck on Labor Day weekend every year, because we're trying to figure out who the fuck is where and Yahoo's trying to screw up our draft anyways. So
yeah,
that's where I'm at on it. And I am interested to hear from another vet GM.
Okay. So we'll segue over to this guest now. And this is a pleasure. This is a first time guest on the podcast. But someone who's very active in the league, I would say is part of the pulse of the league, knowing a lot of where the trades are happening. He's probably involved in every single trade. A lot of people go to this GM because he's willing to make trades. So it's a pleasure to have him on this league, on this podcast, and especially in this league. And without further ado, Steve Delamere, thank you for joining us on the Sixth Sense podcast tonight.
Thank you, God, boys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I try to be a religious listener to the podcast, so it's special for me. So thank you very much. I guess maybe can I give you guys my take on the fantasy?
Sure,
sorry, the keeper leagues.
Yeah.
So I am in two keeper leagues. One's an auction league where you're allowed to keep two players for $5 more than you purchased them for, and the other one is similar to our league, except it's a normal draft league. You can keep two players, but it costs you that round value. So similar to what we just talked about, you guys just talked about, but you're absolutely right. It can be an absolute clusterfuck.
You can swear. It's okay.
Yeah, that was awesome. It sounded like you just got bleeped automatically. That was perfect.
I wasn't sure if I could, so I don't know why I did that, but it is a clusterfuck. It's actually quite fun once. So similar, cause what you were saying about like people not figuring out how it works for 5 years. That's exactly how both my keeper leagues have basically operated. Once you get it, it can be really fun because you end up like trading draft picks and everybody understands where they are and what they need to do. But at first, it's a complete clusterfuck. So you'd have to have a commitment from all GMs to do it, and you really wanted to start from scratch. You'd have to also make changes to things like the trade deadline, so you couldn't go down to the end of the year. You have to set like a week 10 trade deadline. You'd have to decide how you're going to do it, or only allow what I would say like 3 trades per team for the year or something like that. Cause otherwise it can be complete sell-offs. Like the one league that I'm in, and I'll turn it back to you guys, but the one league that I'm in, there's the teams in last place don't really have even top 24 running backs or top 36 wide receivers on their team at this point in the season.
Yeah.
So
yeah. See, there you go. Yeah. Well,
case in point, Law and Order. No, I'm kidding. Case in point.
Yeah. So, okay. So Delamere, there's a lot of questions that have been pre-submitted, knowing that potentially you may come on in the future. People want to get your insights. One question that I want to know is when there was a couple, I think it was 2 seasons ago, there was some controversy 1 week where there was a trade that happened late in the week. You thought it shouldn't happen. And then you said, okay, if we're allowing trades this late in a week, this GM should trade with this GM because he needs the kicker or something like that. And you were actually playing that GM, one of those GMs. And then that trade actually happened. We want to know, when me and you had that phone conversation and you were very upset because the commissioners made the mistake of approving that trade or putting that trade through when we shouldn't have. Where were you? Were you down in Delray Beach, Florida, on a poolside in a Speedo, or where were you when you made that call?
I was in Florida. I think I was in the condo that I was renting. I was there on family. I think it was raining actually when I took that call. But the reason that I was upset was because the trade actually happened like during Sunday.
Yeah.
That's why I threw out that I said, we can't allow this. And then if you could allow this, then you, essentially this guy should do this because it's the only way that he can win. And then of course you went and did it. But I was making that assumption that the trade wouldn't be allowed. So I went and volunteered that information to the guy I was playing who then made the trade. So anyway, yeah.
Did you win the week? I don't remember.
I did because
he did. He wouldn't have won the trade. Week, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have.
He wouldn't have won the week.
Yeah. See, he tried to incite the mob. He knows. See, Deli's been in these leagues. He knows. That's how you get the mob going.
We understood that that was a mistake. The logic of that GM, I think he needed the kicker or something. That I don't even know what the situation.
That's exactly what it was. So there was no kickers to pick up at.
Because you were blocking him.
This was. I did have two kickers but that's his fault. But so it was like it was 4:30 or something, and so the late games had started, and there was only really the late game, and then the Monday nighter, and then there was no kickers to pick up. But he had decided to start his kicker on bye, and he wasn't picking up a kicker to fill him in. So I picked up the only kicker left, and then that's what led to the trade.
So he traded with a guy who had the kicker playing that night, but then
the only kicker that was left that hadn't played or something. I think it was the Monday nighter actually.
Maybe. But then that left the guy who was trading the kicker away with no kicker, and he was he was going to get penalized because you have to play somebody, and it was just he was like, well, I don't care if I get penalized. I'm picking up a way better player than the kicker I'm giving him. So yeah, it was a clusterfuck.
And I feel like I'm watching like 2020 or one of those shows, Dateline. We go back to 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lemire's vacation.
The learning from that was, well, one was we only accept trades that Yahoo will put through. Like we don't commingle or we don't we don't act a god on that. But the other thing was get rid of kickers because they're meaningless. So
you know what I think. Sorry, go ahead, Deli. I'll go after.
I think the one thing that and like all the leagues that I've been in is like once 1 o'clock Sunday happens, you can't really trade until the next week.
It's interesting.
The easiest way to look at it.
It's interesting. I wonder if Yahoo, because I know you could like recently. It was you couldn't even like I could drop guys on Monday. I think with waivers it doesn't matter as much anymore. I'm trying to think of how it worked, but I could drop guys on Monday that had already played, but not in my lineup. I can't remember. It still works that way. Anyway, but I feel like if both guys haven't played yet, then yeah,
you can drop guys on your bench anytime and pick up players that haven't played yet. That's
and so, like, if a trade, yeah, the trade would have to involve all guys who didn't play, is what was basically where I was going with that one.
Yeah.
Great input, Cosby. Okay, Kirky, where are we going next?
All right. So, Delamere, we'll go to this. We won't get your Deli Dimes picks yet.
Okay.
But I think people are really liking this segment and you delivering this on Sunday. And just so you know, I personally used a lot of your picks. I didn't use a parlay and use all of your picks. But I did lose money overall because the two losses you did have on this week, the Monday nighter with the Bears, I think that fucked a lot of people, but.
No, I didn't have the bear. I had New England on Sunday night or Baltimore on Sunday night.
You did in your Deli Dimes, but then you gave a little extra bonus one saying,
I did. Okay.
Bears. What as soon as Stu Fart said Kirk Cousins is 0-9 on Monday nighters, I was almost going to say, you know, just bet the bank on the Vikings because Stewart never gets anything right. But I did.
Oh, quick interruption here quick aside on that Kirk Cousins bit. Like, I don't know if there's a guy anyone wanted to lose more than when, I don't know if you guys watched the end of the game. It was a terrible Monday nighter, but I don't know if anyone wanted him to lose more than when they got the first down to go into Bears territory in the final under 2 minutes to go. And Chicago still had three timeouts. So they got a huge first down and it was big or whatever, but he's like, he was going around flexing and like high-fiving every single guy on his team. And I was like, dude, you still need another first down. Like, what are you doing? Like,
and I actually thought the exact same thing.
And every single person watching was probably like, really, I really hope he gets served here. Like, I was rooting for it so hard. Go ahead. Sorry.
The keeper league that I just mentioned, I actually was up 15 going into that Monday nighter. And my opponent had Dal Cook. And so it literally came down to that last drive. And that there was a 3rd and 6. And if Dal Cook got 3 yards, I lost. And if he got 2 yards, I won. And he got 2 yards. So I won by .12. And I was paying attention. And I've never – that's like the fantasy high of all highs.
So good.
I'm still waiting for the stat correction on Thursday. That's going to
happen. Now, Delamere, so you're obviously in multiple leagues. Looking at all – I guess you're in three. Four total. Okay.
Yeah.
How does this league stack up against other leagues in the sense of people, you know, interacting in the league, high quality? How would you compare this league to other leagues that you're in?
First of all, like the WhatsApp chat group is by far the best. So I'm in two other WhatsApp chat groups, but I think the content there is definitely higher. What I would say is I actually thought when I started this league, I was like, some of these moves are – these guys don't know what they're doing, but what I've really realized now, I guess everybody's paying attention because everybody cares a lot, is that there's guys in this league now, they're starting to really figure this out. Like there's guys I'm like, oh, I'll pick up this guy. And I'm like, oh fuck, he's gone. How the hell did somebody pick this guy up or know about this guy?
Mm-hmm.
So, quality's definitely there. There's a couple of these I'm in where like, you know, that's bottom three teams are going to be the bottom three players are going to be in the bottom five or six every year.
Right.
Whereas this one is a lot more up and down, and you still have your top GMs, but
you still got your bottom GMs with Ozzy. You know he's going to be down there.
Look at these standings. we'll get to our standings, but you guys go with what you want. But I want to make sure we actually talk about that later on.
So we're gonna give a recap, and then I want to get everyone's take. So just thinking about this and kind of a hint for later in the podcast. But just we should be getting thinking about the playoff hunt, like who we think is in there, and who's on the bubble. Cosby, I'm just thinking what you're thinking right now is you don't want to talk about that because you don't want to jinx it. So
not even that. I didn't want to interrupt Deli's praise for our league either. It was good.
Well, I don't know. Do you have any other praise, Deli, that you want to talk about with us?
I'm trying to think of what else I could.
No, it's okay.
No. I thought he was going on to another point, so I just didn't want to interrupt.
I think I was thinking of a third point because I like to give things in threes here, but that's what I got. I got the two things.
That's how he comes back in trade negotiations. There's always three things.
Oh, that's the thing. There's so much. That is the third thing. Is the amount of trades and back and forth and like you message about like somebody's on the block and next thing you know you've got six people text messaging you in the middle of the day while you're trying to work and you're trying to work deals at the same time and then that's the fun part of fantasy and everybody's pretty active there. So
yeah, that was I absolutely love that. Like when I did that kind of sweepstakes for Michael Thomas. I just cracked a couple beers, sent a few text messages out, and then just went to town. So, and it was a lot of fun, I think. And that was what I liked. What I like about this league is that I'm pretty sure every GM, minus maybe one or two, contacted me, right? So, yeah, everyone's really engaged, which is ultimately within fantasy football, I think there are going to be GMs that are just know football better than others. But as long as everyone's engaged, I think that's all you can ask for, right? So now, Delamere, you know, going on the Deli Dimes, people are using you as kind of their betting expert and using you as a proxy to make
bets. Don't do that.
So thanks. Don't do that. But don't worry, I've learned. I you're not bad. I don't know if you keep track. I think this weekend you were 3-1. Last week 2-2. But anyways, we're kind of listening to you because there's this euphoria that you are been kicked off Bet365. Can you elaborate as to why that is and how that actually happened?
Bet365 and I met about I'd say maybe 10, 12, 14 years ago. We had a great relationship over the years, you know, me giving them some stuff, them giving me some stuff. It's been a really good back and forth relationship. Ultimately, I've won by a significant amount, but back when COVID first started, and I guess it was March or April, I took up esports as a hobby, not playing, but actually just betting it. And so what I ended up doing is I actually bet on Pinnacle as well. And so what I would do is I was just checking lines, and I noticed some inefficiencies in some of the betting lines on the two sites. And it allowed me to basically arbitrage the games. And for those of you who are listening to the podcast, the hundreds of thousands of you listening, really what arbitrage is it allows, basically I take both sides of a bet, but it's guaranteed, there's no risk. It's risk-free. So there was, I had a huge spreadsheet going in terms of my bets. I bet 150 grand in April. It was all
risk-free. Yeah.
It was all risk-free, but I was betting, I'm not kidding you, I was betting 30 things a day.
Yeah.
And it was so easy. It wasn't even time consuming. It wasn't time consuming to do, but at one point I bet 150 grand.
So basically,
I don't know if I can be on this podcast.
So you would take one side on Bet365 and the other side on Pinnacle.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was, so take the exact opposite. And so I ended up, I think I won, like, it was just over 10 grand. So 150,000 to bet to win 10 grand, but it was all risk free. So, and then, but one day I won like six off. It was a massive number where I was just, for some reason, every bet that I made on Bet365 won, and every bet that I made on Pinnacle lost, right? Which I don't care because I'm arbitraging anyway, but Bet365 started to realizing that I was taken to the cleaners, essentially. And then they sent me an email saying that something fishy was going on, and they were watching my account, and then obviously I just kept doing it, and then they finally locked me out. So I can only bet, like, I think the max I can win on a bet now is $200.
Really?
And they won't let me bet, like, on major events more than like $20.
So do they actually contact you? Like, do you get an email from like the VP of fraud or what?
Yeah, if I could read it to you, but I gotta bring it up. But yeah, they basically said, like, sorry, you don't get any freebies, you don't get any free plays. We're locked, basically locked. You're welcome to keep your money here, but we're capping you out at certain things. And so it was basically, we broke up.
And you can cash out too, right? Like, you,
yeah, I can cash out, but it was just getting broken up with is tough sometimes.
That is heartbreaking.
So yeah. Pinnacle
is
your go-to.
This is like, I'm trying to think the real life version of that could have been crazy. If it wasn't virtual,
it would be like the equivalent of like boyfriend girlfriend, and the boyfriend is literally stealing thousands of dollars a month from the girlfriend, and then the girlfriend says, "What the hell, you're stealing from me? We're done."
Yeah.
It's tough.
You're not stealing from Bet365. You were making bets, but just it happened to be winning a bunch. And yes, you're putting up big numbers.
It's their line. You're basically making their line makers look silly is what's happening.
Yeah. And I'm actually bringing the lines back into even with Pinnacle. So what Pinnacle doesn't care about arbitraging, they actually encourage it because they think they're the best line makers. So they want you to arbitrage with them, right, to screw the other sites, because they know if their lines are better, eventually long-term you win money against the other shops, right?
Which they did in this case.
And that this case, this is what happened. I ended up breaking it in Bet365 and losing all my money in Pinnacle. But I had to keep taking money out of Bet365 too. So I think they started noticing.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, you had to take money out of Bet365 to fund your losses in Pinnacle.
Exactly. Yeah. So you got to be careful how you
do
that.
So what were you actually betting on? Like, with esports? Like, what are these guys playing? Like NHL 93 or something? Or like, what's going on?
Spinnerama or fucking one timer.
Yeah.
I don't discriminate with esports. So it would just depend on what was going on. My favorite was, I actually got into it so much that I started watching some of these things where I would like, so like League of Legends, I don't even know what that is really. Dota, D-O-T-A, Dota. But there'd be times where, I'm not kidding you, I'd find this like big arbitrage and it'd be like, whatever, I'll put down $3,000, whatever, $3,000 on one side. And instead of evening it out the odds, or I'd win $100 no matter what, I would take the underdog on one side, and it was like $1,500 if I won. And then I'd watch the match and be like, oh, I just won $1,500.
And these were going on, what, throughout the whole entire day? Like,
Oh, most of them are based in China, although they're actually around the world, but the big ones are sort of located in like China and stuff. But I bet Brazil, I bet Southeast, everywhere in Southeast Asia, there's North American esports. It's all, they're everywhere.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So
I wonder if you could create a house and put some odds on every single one of our matchups, like in the UFFL.
I could do that. Maybe I can, why don't I do that? I'll do that for you guys and I'll post it in the group for Sunday tomorrow I'd have to do it.
Yeah. Now I don't know if it's too much work to put it on every single game, but
maybe do the first, maybe do the playoffs or something, because there's only four matchups.
Okay, I'll do the play. I'll do it for the playoffs, and then if you want, I'll even take action. So if anybody wants to bet,
everybody's rosters are set too.
I love this idea, because this will give me something to watch in the playoffs, because I don't think I'm going to be there. I'm going to fight like tooth and nail, whatever that line is, but I'm going to fight hard to get there, but I don't think it's going to happen. So let's get back into the UFFL now. Deli, that's quite an esports story, but we're going to get to the real stuff now. Looking back on week 10, Delamere, you had who were you playing this weekend?
This coming week?
No, week 10, you're playing.
I played Henry.
Yeah, so that was a big matchup. Was there any soap operas with that one? Like, was there any comebacks, anything out of the ordinary?
No, I think that's when he basically said there was a fire sale on his team. Just trying to see exactly. I think I had it won before the late game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, you needed Lamar to do Lamar stuff, and then Dalvin, you're two down with Dalvin, so yeah. It was pretty much he went to bed unhappy on Sunday for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say another big, I guess, item.
Hell of a rivalry, though. Hell of a rivalry.
Yeah, rivalry. What was that?
Rivalry.
And that was actually the matchup of the week last week. So, Delamere, congratulations on winning that. The dud of the week, I think, surprised a lot of people. The dud of the week in week 10 was Discount Belichick versus Locker Room Lege. And, Locker Room came through with a 138-110 victory. And believe it or not, a high week with 138. So Cosby, your comment a week or 2 weeks ago now, high weeks can't happen under 150 points. But
I didn't say that. I asked if it was still $50.
Can I step in and just go back to the betting thing for a second? Sure. I think that if we had had this podcast last Thursday, and you had asked me to post odds on if Aussie would post the highest points for the week, I'm pretty sure I would have given it odds of like 75 to 1, maybe 100 to 1, maybe more.
You would have taken a bath on that one for sure.
I know I would have, but that's one of the biggest, most surprising things ever happened in this league.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well, if we look at the record book, like he's averaging, well, there's the fact that he even had a 138 high week is you know, shouldn't happen, right? Yeah. But the fact that it's just Aussie putting up 130 points and he's averaging like 90 points a week, it's just tough. And
there's one of two return TDs. He had a return TD on his team, which is.
He also got 2 points from his RB2, 0 points from his tight end and Jimmy Graham, and 4 points from Mark Ingram, and still had the high week.
Amazing. And Kirky, I was going to tell you, I called that shot in my head. I was, walking around the grocery store watching the game, and I for some reason I thought all week that Cordero was gonna take one to the house against his former team.
Yeah, so that was a fun one. I that was another interesting matchup. There was two interesting matchups going into the Monday Nighter that I was watching. Obviously my matchup against Yaney, I needed Minnesota and Patterson to do much, and I was just loving the fact that they're handing the ball off to Patterson. I just had a feeling that they were just gonna feed him all night. What really took it over the top is that, you know, kickoff return in the third quarter. I kind of missed that, actually, though. I was watching that game very closely, but I didn't get back to
halftime. Yeah, halftime, back from the bar, as it were.
But it was a great, I checked my app and it was great to see that I was kind of in the lead and kind of off and running there.
The other thing is I missed it too, because I was grabbing whatever I was grabbing, but I knew in my head what had happened. I didn't even have to see it till like the fourth quarter highlights or whatever that.
Yeah,
that's what happened. I was just like, oh yeah, I did it. Cool. And I kept watching. I didn't check or anything.
The other interesting matchup was G&J versus Blackout Bobby, and G&J pulled it through on the Monday nighter with Thielen and Kyle Rudolph coming through with 28 points. So a little tough one for Blackout Bobby.
Was that what he ended up putting up? As soon as I saw that Irv was out, anyone named Irv is great, by the way.
Yeah.
But as soon as I saw Irv Smith Jr. was out.
He ended up playing Rudolph, who
only 8 points. Yeah, but still,
so this was nuts. I was, you guys might have probably watching the game too, but Rudolph had a fumble, I think, on this first catch or second catch of the game, and that was the first fumble of his career, or in really, like the last 137 games that he's played.
Wow.
That's insane, right? So, anyways, that was a big one for that was
the swing game.
That was a total swing game, right?
Yeah, good to transition to standings here. Sorry, I know you're probably doing that anyway.
Well, but. The only other thing I did want to mention here in last week's matchup is it seemed like there was a tight matchup going on between Chubb Nation and Dud of the Week. They were
That was the game I didn't have on because I was watching Wilson and Lockett just poo everywhere. But that was the 4 o'clock. I'm sure Deli was watching as well. Bills Cardinals last week.
I tried to put that out of my mind.
Absolutely, but the Diggs touchdown put Chubb over the top on JWoww. Yeah, that's what they went back and forth in the chat on.
That's the last player for either of them too.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
So that capped it. Yeah, but so that's a tough one for JWoww. Yeah, so puts got Chubb to 5-5 as well and left JWoww at 6-4, which is crazy. But yeah, the thing I love about that, a quick aside to not fantasy related, is that I forget what the final number was, but just because I'm in marketing, let me see how quickly I can pull that up. That the picture that went viral of Hopkins catch, I know you're not trying to think about it, Deli, but the picture that went viral, here it is. Hopkins viral play comes with a marketing catch. So he's got his Jordan glove on, right? And there's a picture that went viral of all the other dudes with like different brands on. So it's literally the Jordan glove making the game sealing catch above Adidas, above Reebok.
Yeah.
And they said, what did they say? So made the Jordan, helped the Jordan brand get $5.7 million in free media exposure. Not free, obviously, because they give Hopkins all his stuff, but.
Nike's still, always one step ahead. So,
$5.7 million.
Yeah, it's essentially free because that's a sunk cost to him. So, if that play hadn't happened, it wouldn't have
gotten that. That's fucking crazy.
That was a crazy end of the game, and it obviously impacted our fantasy football. That was another swing game. JWoww going with 6-4, Chamble falling to 5-5. So, got a log jam. We've looked at the standings here right now. We got a log jam at 5-5 with. There's going from 6th to 11th. They're 5-5. You're in that group, Deli. We got 7-3, first place, Cosby and Bondo. Kind of a tale of two different teams, I think. They're surprising that Bondo's even in that conversation or even in the playoff hunt, to be quite honest with you. Knowing that we have Delamere on the pod, what's your take on your team this season? How confident are you feeling going into the final stretch of the season in the last 3 weeks?
It's been a struggle. Like, my team looks fucking good on paper, I'll say that, but it's been like I've kind of like made trades that have kind of backed me up a few weeks every week with trading for injured players or players on bye or whatever, and it kind of resulted in my 5-5 record. So there's such a log jam between really call it 3rd and 11th that you lose 2 weeks of the last 3 weeks, you're not going to make the playoffs, right? So I'm in a tough one with Charlie Tweeter this week, so we'll see. And he made a pretty stealth pickup yesterday, picking up Jameis, famous Jameis. So
Hammies.
that didn't make me happy considering he's playing Atlanta this week. I didn't like seeing him do that. I was hoping somebody else was staying him.
So, you got the Michael Thomas antidote, though. That's okay.
That's true. But, you know, Jameis does nothing but look downfield, and Michael Thomas is like a low ADOT or average target player. So it's going to be I don't think that's good for Michael Thomas necessarily to change.
That is a big matchup, and that could be kind of the matchup of the week. Now, let me get your take, and both of you, Kaza and Deli, on Gleeder's team. Gleeder has been very active this year. Putting up second most moves in the league with 40 moves over the season. He's been the most active in the WhatsApp chat. Guy texts me all the time, just about football, about, you know, I think he's engaged in every single matchup going on. He was my pick for a GM and a team to do very well in the season, but he seems to have taken a couple back steps in the last few weeks. What's your guys' take on what Gleeder's done in a lot of the moves this year? Cosby?
You're not going to find this. If you're looking for a sleeper, he's probably on Gleeder's team. I used to listen to a lot more to the Ross Tucker football podcast, but he talks about football as like a disease, as the illness, as the sickness. And when it comes to fantasy, Gleeder has the sickness now. He's fully encapsulated by it. It's amazing. I think his draft, he's played well off his draft, but he's followed it up by making sure that he's trying to be like a couple steps ahead of every guy, right? Like he went and got Mostert before he was coming back, picked up Claypool. I think it was a week early, wasn't it? I think he had Claypool, but he was on his bench as a replacement player of all things, which is also hilarious. And you'll see he has like Jalen Reagor is there as well. So he's got guys that are maybe about to bust, but he's got them before they actually do. So that's key in fantasy as well.
Yeah, my take on his team is he's pretty dangerous. And Cause, you kind of hit on it. But he, if you look at his team, and I actually had this note, I did prepare for this podcast just slightly. He actually has three starting wide receivers this week against me that are rookies, and Reagor, Claypool, and Pittman. He also has Zach Moss, who's a rookie, and Cam Akers as a rookie on his bench. So he this is going back to everybody – these guys, everybody in this league is really well prepared. Gleeder remind, like from where he started to where he is now, he's stealth. And you're right, picking up guys way earlier. And like, it seemed like every time it's like, oh, I'll pick this guy up. Nobody's going to know this guy. Oh, he's on Gleed's team. Right. Yeah. Like all year long. So, and he's a little bit of a fetish with rookies, kind of similar to me. So I think that's a good way, although it's not a keeper league. So we'll see how that goes, but watch out for Reagor too, because he's healthy again. So
Philly's schedule is just sick too. So can fucking figure themselves out. But anyways, that's a whole other. We could spend a whole podcast talking about the Eagles' problems. Sorry, Kirky, go ahead.
Gleeder's got a hard on right now. He just loves the fact that Delamere has done a deep dive analysis on all his entire team. So
Here's the negative. Here's the negative. He needs a second running back. His starting running back this week is Lat Murray, and I think that's to replace. Oh, he's got Mostert, who's coming back from injury, so that's.
But they're on a bye though. San Fran's on a bye.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think he's hurt anyway. But if he comes back and Mostert's back to where he was late last year, then he's going to be a force in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. It's just interesting, and Gleeder to me is just he does deals for sake of doing deals sometimes, like. You know, kind of backfired on him this week. Like he made a trade, I think, with Burnside right before, like 20 minutes before the start of the week on Thursday night to get Pittman, and wasn't gonna decide not to play him or something like that. But then Pittman put up 20 points and he was sitting on his bench. So you know, it's just interesting. I feel he's done a lot of moves. I just hope it's not too many moves. I'm just trying to be cute, right, and get that. One step ahead.
Well, you got to be ahead of waivers now in this league. That's one thing that's changed over the years. It's I mean, that's the only reason I've made a couple moves on actually use my waiver this year, is because you know that no one's going to make it through anymore.
Right. Well, so, that's the thing. Like, it's very tough. And Delamere, we had this one segment. I think this might have been last year's, but what did Deli do? And this was kind of the whole inception of the 3 a.m. club. And the 3 a.m. club, I think, is it's still going on. I think it's gone a little bit later. I think some people have learned that when they wake up at that time, it's really tough to coordinate what's actually going on. And some people are actually dropping players.
I heard, I heard you say that last week on the pod, and I was like, that's exactly what happens. I literally can't see straight for 5 minutes, and I don't know what league I'm in.
Oh, especially if you got four leagues going on, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So now is your stance on that? You're like, I'm just not gonna get up anymore and do that. Like
my team is like, and I'm not trying to do this to brag, but my team's pretty set and deep that for me to pick up a player or free agency would have to be a defense only. So like there's no guys that are really like, okay, a guy got injured, I'm gonna pick up this backup running back and we use my waiver priority. I'm probably not gonna do that. I'm probably just gonna save, to be honest with you, even though everybody's gonna listen to this podcast, I'm probably saving my waiver priority for the playoffs. And likely if I'd probably save my waiver priority to block another player from getting the team I'm playing from getting a player.
Right.
For sure, yeah.
Now
I wanted to, but
now cause yeah. you used a your waiver this
past. I had to get in the waiver wars, man. I had to get in on it. Patrick Laird already effed me, so I had to go with the other Dolphins running back who will probably screw me this week too. So, but yeah, that was basically what like Deli was saying was, I'm even though I feel pretty good about my team, I was like, someone else is going to get him that I might not want to get him because I actually still want to be able to make moves or trade. So I didn't want to let another team get or think they were get whether they're getting deeper or not. I didn't want to have another team think they were getting deeper and therefore not want to make a deal or whatever, or it gives me a little bit more depth to then make a deal. So,
yeah. Well, and just so everyone, why don't you, what was your pickup?
I want you to try and say his name. That's what
I don't want to do that. I'm literally looking at it earlier today. It's like, I'm not going to give Salvin Ahmed.
I've never heard his name called Salvin Ahmed. Yeah, you got it, I think. But yeah, there were seven. I was happy to see that there were seven claims. That's how I went back to sleep this morning, was knowing that there were six guys who were in on that one.
Yeah, and just looking back on our whole season, that is tied with the most, the biggest waiver offer or waiver claims. It was him, and then last week, Marvin Jones Jr., or 2 weeks ago, sorry, was Marvin Jones Jr. He had six.
Yeah, and then earlier than that, Mike Davis was the other early one, but that's to be expected. It's
so funny how like you were deep into the fantasy football season. This some guy that nobody had ever heard of a week and a half ago got the most waiver claims, and he's on a team that we thought was absolutely horrendous 3 weeks ago, and now apparently they're a playoff team.
They're the undefeated Dolphins under Tua.
Yeah. Which I don't know if you guys see what
happened. Has an announcer said today? Go for Tua yet? Like after every touchdown, do they just say go for Tua? Like,
did anyone see what happened to Tua day today?
Yeah, he's on the. Oh, I was almost said Jagger Bombers. He's on the Comeback Kids team.
Yeah,
it's life imitating art right there. You're on your own sort of prove it mission.
What does
the other ones were? Tyler Higbee went to Hendry. Over Oz. Ozzy wanted a tight end. He's probably going to get the tight end I just dropped now because no one else wants him. Carlos Hyde went to G&J. I dropped Carlos Hyde Sunday morning. Don't know how I feel about that now. And then Tony Pollard is yours, Kirky. You're in on the waiver wars too, buddy.
I had seven waiver claims last night, or five waiver claims.
That's why we have to do it. See, Deli.
You got to do it. I mean, you're on a two-game streak, Kirky. You got to keep it going.
I love it. Well,
this is one thing I've learned about. Like, I've never really been in this position before where I've had to, like, literally win every week for it seems like a long time now. But waiver claims are so important. I've never been so active in the waiver claim process than I have this year over any other year. So as we talk about guys continuing to learn and how this league works, a co-commissioner, a person who's won this league, you still have to learn how to adapt within a season, depending on how your team.
While we're talking transactions, we were talking about Gleeder too, but everyone gave me shit for the way I treated Devontae Booker earlier this year, carrying him as my Josh Jacobs handcuff. But what the fuck, like Gleeder, what the fuck is going on? Like, I know, I think he's just trying to make me laugh. He sent me a deal tonight as well with Booker in it. And I'm like, I don't even have Jacobs anymore. It's amazing. But he picks up Booker at 458, drops him at 530 for Alex Collins, picks him back up at 557. And then you get to later on today, he's like, oh, maybe I kind of want Tua. So it's 124, 7 hours have passed. Booker gets dropped for Tua. 2 minutes pass. Tua gets dropped for Booker. And now here we are. And he just sent me a fucking deal with a minute trying to get me a trade for him.
That's, I love it, though. I love the dedication. But, yeah, it's a roller coaster for the players on his team.
Jesus.
Need some consistency.
Kirky, I know you're trying to get a little bit more depth, but I'm still interested in Kyler Murray, where I could flip you Lamar and another guy if you're interested.
So, oh, man. He's already made a deal today that I didn't want him to make.
Yeah.
What deal did he make? Oh, you got Kareem Hunt or something, didn't you? Or a trade?
I got Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, for his playoff run. You got him Kareem Hunt for his playoff run.
I picked up Tua today and a couple, Gleeter noticed that too, right? I picked up Tua at 212, around 215. Gleeter's like, oh, you making a trade with Kyler? Like, you trading Kyler? It's just so awesome. I think it was that, or maybe it was J-Wow. I don't even remember. One of those two guys, like J-Wow and Gleeter, both those guys are just in on it all the time, which is awesome. Perfect. So,
by the way, Cause, your team is probably ranked, if I was doing power rankings, is probably number one. But J-Wow's team is right up there as well. If he can just improve his running back's spot a little bit. He's...
I know. Believe me, I know that. Trouble. I'm working on that. Trouble. I'm working on that daily. Shh.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay.
I'm kidding. That's great. But never talk about my team being good, please. Let's move on, guys. Let's move on.
Well, all right. So I want to kind of talk about, at least enlighten me on what you guys think will make the playoffs this year, record wise. 7-6. Do you think anyone's going to sneak in there with a 6-7? Like, what do you think that cutoff is? For all those
this is where we need like a Hendry. We need a Hendry or a Gleeter to, because what would help this is knowing everyone's schedule too, right? Because I was trying to figure that out too.
Yeah.
Because we have that. I like to needle you, commissioner guys, about the rules and how we have that rule. If you're mathematically out, you shouldn't be trading.
Right.
And based on the matchups, some people might actually be mathematically out, but we don't want to dig too far down the rabbit hole.
So I know what you mean. Like, you're thinking, the guy's making trades with me right now. Like, I could be mathematically out.
Based on the rest of the schedule, who knows, right? Yeah. But the other thing is, it's like, yeah, like, those scenarios are, like, so far. Like, we need fucking Colombo or Banachek or someone in here to fucking figure it out.
Yeah, I think there's 3 weeks left. There's team six, ranked six through, call it 11, or all 5-5. So there's enough teams there.
Right.
I think there'll be enough teams that go 2-1 there, probably, that I think it'll have to be 7-6. And if anybody, 8th seed might squeak in at 6-7, but I would, you really got to bank on 7-6 or you're not.
And was it seven? Was it, we were looking at the all time before. Was it seven last year, Kirky? I would say, yeah, I would say at least three of those go, like, if half of them go 2-1, like Deli's saying, you have to imagine.
There's going to be some tie breaks coming to play too. Cause if you look at those teams right there, like that are tied for 5-5 points for 1300, 1294, 1276, 1261, 1258, 1251. Like, there, that's tight.
Yeah.
All within 49 points of each other. And then even if you took the 6-4 teams above, right, that are, might come back to the pack there.
Yeah.
They're right there too.
Yeah. So looking back in 2019, the cutoff was a 6-7 team got in. It was a tiebreaker. Bondo got in on points. And if we look back to,
was that the year I was 5-7-1 or whatever? Fucking tie.
Yeah. And then in 2018, it was 7-6. Again, Bondo just squeaking in. Actually, in that year, it was Chubbs. So I think that was Burnside at that time.
Burnside and I are the ones. Burnside and I are the ones who kind of joke. We kind of joke before the year.
He snuck in, sneaked in. And then he actually won it all. Right. In first place. So you're right, Cause. We could probably tell if I should be trading with people right now. Like, if you got these 5-5 guys, there's six squads at 5-5. I basically need, I got like a three of them, four of them to go 0-3. For me to get in. Cause, and I'm actually thinking, like, if even if I get to 6-7 and I win out, I'm probably not going to get there on points, right? But that can't be an elimination factor because
we don't know. You don't know how many points you can get.
Kirky, two hundos. Kirky, you're not lucky, but like the matchups this week, there are 2 5-5 matchups. So two of those 5-5 teams will automatically lose.
Right.
Unless there's a tie, but that's not going to happen. So,
well, I was looking at this earlier. I want to play those 5-5 teams right now, but I'm not. Like, I've got Dud of the Week, G&J, and Chubb Nation. So I played Chubb Nation in week 13. He's a 5-5 squad, but I want to be playing those 5-5 squads from here on out. And Dud of the Week is 6-4, G&J is 6-4. So I'm going to do a lot of matchup watching. And probably not be involved in the playoffs, but I'm going to fight until I get there or until it's automatic. So, okay. Now looking at a Dud of the Week. You guys still there?
Yeah, yep. I think your call waiting went off there, Eric.
No kidding.
Who's on the other line?
No kidding. I don't know what that was.
It's perfect. It's as good as the start of the podcast.
What I was saying was, going to put you on the spot, Dylan, here to pick a matchup of the week, and we'll run through that, and then we'll do the Dud. So, what do you think is the matchup that you're most watching for whatever reason?
Let's see here. I didn't plan this ahead, so I didn't plan that part. But I guess I'll go with your matchup.
You do this every single week of the podcast.
Probably, I know. Probably your matchup, because I'm interested to see if you can actually pull like 1,000 to 1 and somehow make the playoffs after starting 1-7. So, but if I was gonna pick one from a stud matchup, it probably, and I'm not probably me and Gleed, I guess.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. Okay. Cosby, what are you thinking there?
I'm trying to decide between an outside looking in or the guys who are trying to improve their position, right? Because Delhi leader would be good for that, but then there's what's Blackout Bobby done left? Is he on a streak? No, he lost us.
He lost last week.
Oh, he beat me 2 weeks ago. That's why I thought he was
good. Him and Luke both are on a one-game losing streak.
That's not that big a deal.
Luke's team is so shit. Like,
I know. Every time I looked at his team, before the call, he looked at his team, and I was like, holy crap, your team is shit. And then I looked, and he's projected to get 140 points.
I know. But he puts up, like, 95 points and wins. Like, it's just like... Oh my god, it's so frustrating.
And he picked up Kalen Ballage, and apparently Kalen Ballage is a thing. He's projected to get 15.5 fantasy points this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, his coach is talking him up and everything. That's crazy. It's the weirdest shit. It's because he's on Stewart's team. Stewart called Anthony Lynn.
That running back committee in LA is pissing me off. Not that it mattered.
The Pope.
Pope. Yeah.
I don't think it's a committee anymore. I think it's Ballage until Eckler gets back.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. Anyways, Cosby, what are you thinking there in a mo?
I don't know.
Okay, good. So we'll go with I think Delhi hit it right in the head there. We'll go with his matchup.
I love it.
It's a very important matchup, 5-5 against, looking on paper, two great teams. And to think that one of those teams is going to be 5-6 heading to 2 weeks left on the brink of elimination, like. Yeah. That's crazy, right? So that's going to be a lot of the other interesting thing. If you look at that matchup, is there anything neat happening? Like, is there a Monday nighter going on? Like
that, I can do. I couldn't pick one, but I can look.
Tell him, are you got Tampa's D Monday night? You're going to go with that, or is there always?
It looks like that's the only thing that's late for any of us Monday night or Sunday night. So that could be it. So I'm going to need to be really to feel comfortable up going into that matchup.
Yeah,
and Gleeder's going to be. Oh, I thought it was Mini Green Bay, but Mini's taking on Dallas. But yeah, you guys in the 425 window, you're going to be hanging on tight there.
Unless Gleeder does something with Booker and plays him on the Sunday nighter.
Oh, you know what though? I've got CEH on my bench, and I think Mixon might be out, and he's playing in the Sunday nighter.
Yeah.
So I'm going to probably have to fill in. So that'll be. I'll have him and Tampa's defense late for the win, I guess. Hope we already have the win.
Yeah. Okay. So sick. Now looking at the dud, the dud is what it is. I feel like now it's just put Ozzy in the dud.
Off a high week, it's tough though.
Yeah.
But he's projected to lose by 53 points.
He doesn't have a tight end or a defense right now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Fair enough. So
then his opponent, Hendry, is shitting. Hendry's scared of everyone.
I don't know about that. I made a deal with Hendry today, and you look who was involved in that deal. Got one guy on a bye. Watkins maybe come back off injury. So he was willing to make that trade. You know, knowing that, you know, he didn't need to necessarily put some of those players in this week's matchup.
Ooh, very interesting. Don't mess with the fantasy gods.
Yeah.
I love it. But I will say, and I'll say this about Hendry too. This is, we all know his favorite position, to the point where he values his handcuff enough. He values one of his running back's handcuffs enough to text me about it and ask me to trade for him and then say, what do you want? And then when I ask for his favorite position back, he says, no.
Yeah, he's a terrible guy to deal with.
Who's the handcuff? Whose handcuff
do you have? Oh, no, I'm not going to say too much. I don't want to divulge too much. But he wants the handcuff enough to bug me about it. But then when I go for a position that you can roll every week that doesn't matter, he won't take the deal. But that's fine.
He should probably go out and get Lat Murray from
absolutely.
That's just my take.
He's got to pray. Like, I know you're probably doing the same. You guys got to pray Jameis can do something. Not that he can't, and I'm not throwing shade by any means, but that sucks to be this late in the year and have a consistency thing just thrown out the window. So
well, here's something, Cosby. I'll tell you right now, you guys have mentioned a few players, Lat Murray and a handcuff of a player on Hendry's team that is on Cosby's team.
There we go. I could have just said it, I guess, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, we can all go look it up.
It's the guy with, like, he might have the most plain name in the whole league too.
Exactly.
Hi, I'm Brian Hill. I'm a running back.
So
parents could have picked any of those other cool names. I could have been Dub Ryan, but I'm fucking Brian Hill. Okay. And that's why I'm not as good. That's the only reason he's not starting over Gurley.
So Cosby, did you just pick Brian Hill up because you knew he was Hendry's handcuff on Gurley?
I was playing the guessing game. Like, I don't like having, like, waking up in the morning of not, like, on Sunday, and I had, like, basically not useless roster spots, but I knew, like, my lineups, my guys were all good to go, and I got nothing to do. And I'm like, oh, okay. Let's see who the best handcuffs are out there. So it could have been anyone. It could have been anyone's team. But
it's even better that it's Hendry.
Oh, it's fucking amazing. Because he texted me right away.
Yeah, what I was going to say. Well, and Hendry just traded. I got him a week or two earlier. And I dropped him and the other guy that I got in that deal. Basically, I took Juju Smith-Schuster and dropped him. That was the ordeal of all this transpiring. Yeah. That just sums up my season. But no, what I was going to say is you've got Hendry looking for or potentially wanting to get Lat Miller or needing him. You've got Gleeder who has Lat Miller. And
Murray.
You've got,
Murray. Lat Murray.
Sorry. Latavius Murray.
Sorry. My bad. He's got Lat Murray. And you've got yourself. I think there's a three-way deal happening here because I think you've got all those suitors there. Want to do some type of action, especially Gleeder.
That's a good point. Maybe I'll get on it. Yeah. And it could involve Booker.
Have fun doing a three-way deal with Hendry.
If only I still needed Booker, I don't. But
yeah,
that would have been great.
All right, so I think we're just deciding on the dud being Hendry and locker room Legge.
Mueller's all around.
Yeah. So okay.
For sure.
Now. Cosby, before we leave, is it time now to bring up the Cos beef that was
supposed- we can do that if you want. It actually centers around one of my players, not one of my players necessarily, but this is just an in general fantasy thing. And you guys can say whatever, you don't have to talk about it at all. But I used to get really mad at coaches that had a really good player on their team and then thought they were like so smart that they could just game plan around it, or for whatever reason they just didn't want to give the guy the usage. Like Pro Football Focus is ranking a guy top five at his position, but this coach thinks he's so fucking smart and has plans for 13 weeks from now that he needs to make sure he doesn't use them all the fucking time. And now I used to get really mad, but now I just have a good laugh. And it doesn't matter these coaches, but it makes me feel good. If you
are you
don't
talking about fantasy or NFL?
I'm talking about actual like NFL coaches.
Oh,
like,
okay, gotcha.
You got a good player and you don't use them and you lose, you know, Cause is sitting there, whether he's on my fantasy team or not, and just I'm having a good laugh at you now. Because I used to get really mad at it and say, why isn't this guy gonna use what? But now I've accepted it. And I just kind of roll with it. It's less of a beef now and more of just a, like, you guys aren't as smart as you think sometimes. Just use the guys that are good. And if your team's good enough, you go from that. That's kind of a baseball thing. I liked how John Gibbons was always just like, I'm going to run my studs out there and they're going to hit because I want them to hit. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But at least he wasn't trying to play all these guessing games. And the NFL is a bit of a different beast. But at the same time, if you have a guy who is amazing, play the guy. For crying out loud. Otherwise,
well,
I laugh.
The biggest guy this year for that to me is Dobbins. Sorry,
sure.
Baltimore.
Kirky's boy.
It's unbelievable. He's easily the best running back on that team. I was actually watching that game and I checked the box score. And at one point in the third quarter, they rushed five different players in a row. Five different players. Five in a row.
Yeah, where did he
Mark play?
Mark Ingram is a plug. Ingram is a complete plug.
We need the Herm Edwards. Hello. You play to win the game.
Yeah. That's
good. That's my beef. Yeah.
That's your beef. Play your players. Keep life simple. Right, Cuz?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Delamere.
Play your winners.
There you go. Exactly. So this is we've set up for a great week. I think all these GMs are going to be tuned up. You got Gleeter going to be fired up. JWoww is going to be fired up. Luke Stewart doesn't know what's going on. The thing about Luke Stewart, so someone made a comment about asking for a rule clarification on the WhatsApp chat the other day, and you guys noticed who the first person to respond with the clarification was? Stewart. Of any guy in the league, that is the one guy who should not be the first to step up and clarifying rules.
What was the clarification about again? I remember seeing that and being responded.
So the rule was, if you trade for somebody, is there any limitation?
It's a Deli's rule. It's Deli's rule.
It was Luke and Deli's rule because we traded players and didn't know the rule, and then we had already agreed to trade them back. Yeah. We only needed them for a week.
Yeah.
We actually didn't know the rule.
I think that's why the rule got made up.
And I'm pretty sure it was Lat Murray that was involved in that trade because I had to keep him on my bench for the rest of the year.
Oh, anyways, beautiful.
So, yeah. I just thought that was funny, but yeah, he'll be flustered right now. That's another big matchup to Luke and Burnside. This is a huge week,
massive.
And I think we've set it up very nice. Delamere, thanks for coming on and being a guest.
Are we gonna do Deli Dimes?
I was hoping Kirky, if you weren't trying to make him ask, that was perfect. I felt that was like your Jimmy Kimmel, Matt Damon moment. We don't have time for Matt Damon. But that's fantastic. Bring him. He's got it written down.
These notes that you have in front of you, this is what your notes are. So go.
Okay, yeah, here. So I got five. It is, I think you guys mentioned this on the podcast last week, or maybe Yorkie did, but it is difficult on a Wednesday night to pick Sunday matchups. But watch for the lines on these games. So here's who I like, and I'll make it pretty quick because I think we're probably running long on the pod maybe here. Eagles +3. They are on the road against Cleveland. I do think Cleveland, all they do is run the ball, and Philly's got a wicked rush defense. So look at that game, Philly. Good matchup for them, their defense. Steelers -10. They might win by 30 against Jacksonville. They're going to be pissed, and they're just going to throw the ball all day. And I think Roethlisberger might have 400 yards, three touchdowns, whatever. Under 48.5 in the Cowboys-Vikings game. I think both teams are going to try and run the ball. The Vikings might not throw the ball at all. So under 48.5 in that game. The Colts -1.5 at home to Green Bay. Green Bay's got the worst rush defense in the NFL, and the Colts are just going to run right over them. You might want to, I don't know if the under is in that game, but you might want to look at that too. And then I got the Bengals plus one on the road against the Washington football team.
Houday. Nice way to cap it. Beautiful. You'll post those too, yeah, right, Deli? Right?
Yeah, I'll post them. Yeah, I'll post them.
Yeah.
Ship it.
What about kind of like an extras? Are you going to give me a take on tomorrow's game? Or like tonight's game?
I don't love it, but I will give you a take on, I think the line, I don't have it up here. I think it's 3 for Seattle at home. Is that right? Let me just verify that. Yeah, -3 for Seattle. I'll take the points. Arizona, I think Arizona's a better team. And I think that Seattle's defense is so bad that it's going to be very tough to stop Kyle.
Do you have the actual total in front of you? I think JWoww told me earlier.
56.5, I think. I think it's 50, I looked earlier. It's 56.
57.5 right now.
That feels low, yeah. Too.
That's on Bet365. Yeah. Yeah, the spread's 3.
That feels low. But that's probably because they all think Russell Wilson sucks, which he doesn't. He's amazing. You should trade for him, guys.
Well, yeah. What's
the money line zone is a good bet there, too, plus 140. Which, if you convert to the other odds, I think is like, what is it? I don't even know.
Yeah, well, anyway. A $10 bet will get you $24.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so not 24. What is it? $140 bet. $100 bet gets you 140. So whatever that is. Yeah, so it'd be.
Yeah.
Well, so 14, you get 14. So if you bet $10, you win 14 plus your money bet. 24, right. You're right. Yeah. Sorry, because you don't win 24, you win 14.
No, you're right. Yeah. It's $10 to return 24.
Right.
Yeah. So there you go. That'll be an interesting matchup. It'll be fun to watch. Obviously, I'm going to be very in tune with that matchup. I don't usually like Thursday nighters, but my boy is going off if he's still on my team. But
let's go.
We'll see about
a good game, and then Thanksgiving, 3 games next week, next Thursday.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. And then Delamere, you've now said in the playoffs you'll give odds, you'll give the Lions, you'll be the house for the UFFL.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, that'll be fun. It'll keep be interesting for everyone, right? So, and makes this league even better. So, all right. Delamere, any final comments for us? Thanks for coming on, but it was great.
Yeah, no, I just want to say thanks, boys. You guys popped my cherry on the podcast, and really appreciate you guys. I'll come back on anytime if you guys want me or need a guy. I'm happy to join.
Yeah, friend of the pod. Yeah, we were gentle. I hope it's good.
You guys are great. Thank you for hosting, and good luck, Kirky, on week 3. And or sorry, going for 3 wins in a row, and Cause taking home the title for first place in the season.
I'll stop it. All right, let's end it here. That's it.
All right, listeners, everyone, thanks for tuning in. And we'll talk to you in 7 days. Later.
Peace.